Thank you for tuning in today, and I want to pick up where we left off last time at the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 1. As we get going, let me again encourage you to be reading in this text, right alongside everyone who gathers around the radio at this time, or who listens to God Is via the app and the podcast. The reading challenge I've given is to read Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 56, once a day, every day, until Christmas Day, December the 25th. That is Luke 1, verses 26 through 56. It's just 31 verses, and I can promise you, reading it over and over again will give you much-needed insight into Christ, as well as his earthly mother Mary that you really must have this Christmas season. There is a temptation before all of us in the next couple of weeks that comes around every year at this time, scurrying around shopping for the perfect present for others and dreaming about what you might get in return. But what if we took time daily to settle down, find a quiet space, and read the words God wrote especially for us? Hearing the voice of God through the Word of God, now that's what I call a gift. Pure gift. This Christmas, open the gift that God has for you. Get going in your own reading of Luke 1, verses 26 through 56. I do not make too many guarantees, but I will confidently guarantee this. If you take up this reading challenge, you will hear the voice of God, and that will prove to be the very best gift you receive this season. And this is true for everyone, whether you be an elderly person who has read the Gospels for a lifetime now, or a brand new Christian just getting going in your walk with Christ. And of course, reading the Bible is exactly what you need if you're not a believer in God. You just randomly found us today. You do not need to own a Bible to read it. Just get online and find the Bible at BibleGateway.com. That's BibleGateway.com. Or use a Bible app on your phone or tablet and type in Luke 1, 26 to 56. Luke 1, 26 to 56, and read it. Let me know what you're learning, what impacts you, and of course, what questions you might have as you do this. I am here for you and will happily interact with you. My addresses will be given again a little later, so get ready to jot those down. But I'll give them to you now. My email address, mark@markaeswallow.com, and my mailing address is God Is, P.O. Box 802, Winchester, Massachusetts, 01890. I look forward to hearing from you this week. Now, what I am doing here weekdays is to simply teach this text. And if you've been with us, then you know we are focused now on Mary, the earthly mother of Jesus. In the human genealogy of Jesus, she is his mother. And we began in Luke 1 in our discussion about her last Wednesday, December 5th. We got as far as Luke 1, verse 27, and we talked about her virginity and the implications of this for Jesus and for us. If you missed that, it's all available online at the WEZ website as a free, downloadable podcast. It's found at 590amtheword.com. Click Podcasts and God Is. That's 590amtheword.com and then click Podcasts. And you can also encourage others to listen to God Is there. So please download these podcasts and get caught up on what I have taught thus far. Today, I want to begin by introducing to you what I will do in the coming days together in Luke 1. But just before I do that, let me reread for you Luke 1, verses 26 and 27. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Let me pause there. This is where we left off last week. And we believe from the Bible that indeed Mary was a virgin. She has never, ever, not once, had sexual intercourse with any man at the time when the angel Gabriel visits with her. No man made Mary pregnant. No man got Mary pregnant. No man impregnated her. Instead, God is responsible for the pregnancy of Mary because Jesus is God's son. Mary's pregnancy is the result of the Holy Spirit, who is God. In his divine wisdom and by his supernatural power, God made it so that the Holy Spirit conceives in Mary, Jesus. And I shared with you that it's my conviction that every one of us Christian people must accept by faith the virginity of Mary. To be a Christian is to accept this. But I also added that I believe Mary was not a virgin for the rest of her life. Mary was not always a virgin. After the birth of Christ, she and Joseph did go on to have sex in the God-honoring context of their marriage. And there were other children born to them after Jesus. The Bible teaches this, and I am a big fan of what the Bible actually teaches, because my source for telling you who God is has always been and will always be the Bible. I believe the Word of God alone tells the truth, and never any church's tradition or any church's teaching, we can call it doctrine, that either inadequately interprets the Bible or takes away from the Bible or adds to what the Bible actually says. And of course, when I say that Mary, the earthly mother of Jesus, was not always and forever a virgin, I am very much aware that this contradicts what one still very popular church teaches, and that is the Roman Catholic Church. Furthermore, I am aware that you may be Catholic. Many practicing Catholics, or at least people who attend Roman Catholic churches, listen to this station and hear me. I've corresponded with some of you via email, which I have enjoyed. We've always had a mutually respectful dialogue, even as we disagree. And here we find ourselves again, friends, disagreeing. So in the days upcoming, I want to deal with the teaching of the Roman Catholic Church that has declared Mary to be a perpetual virgin. That's their language. They say that Mary is a perpetual virgin. That being said, you're tuning in and you're thinking, I'm not Catholic. I do not believe in the perpetual virginity of Mary. Or why should I care about this? Maybe I'll just tune you out for now. Wait, hold on. Protestant, evangelical, non-Catholic friends, do not be so quick to turn that dial. Let me propose instead that you see what you can learn about differences between what the Bible teaches about Mary's virginity and what the Roman churches teach so that you can be more readily equipped to discuss this with your Catholic family members and friends, colleagues, even people that you've recently met who grew up Catholic, even if they now want to have nothing to do with the church. Such precious people populate New England and really the whole world. I have several Catholic friends. I bet you do too, or at least people heavily influenced by the Catholic Church. I was recently visiting the Philippines, where millions, literally, are under the heavy influence of Catholicism and where they worship Mary. When I was engaged in pastoral ministry in Hong Kong, I met countless people who grew up going to Catholic schools and as a result thought they knew everything there was to know about God, the Bible, Mary, heaven, hell, and so on. But the longer they attended our church, an evangelical church, and heard me teach the Bible, the more they realized they did not know or had not properly understood who God actually is. Are you listening today as an evangelical Protestant, Bible-believing Christian? I submit to you that you must be fully equipped to engage Catholicism and know your own Bible such that you can dispute what the Roman Catholic Church erroneously teaches as truth. Here's an important question. Does the truth about Mary, the earthly mother of our Lord, matter? I think it does. I think what you believe about Mary matters a lot. And here's my primary reason for saying so. Tell me what you believe about her, and that tells me something of what you believe about God. That's right. The Catholic Church has such a high view of Mary that she is put on par with Christ. Catholic people worship Mary. She is venerated. And how can that be, given that the Bible clearly states repeatedly that only God himself is worthy of our worship, our veneration? No woman and no man can ever be worshipped without that worship being called for what it is, idolatry. Idolatry is a sin, and it is a sin that must be repented of within each one of us. I believe the veneration of Mary is a sin that the Roman Catholic Church must repent of and stop teaching immediately. I'll tell you up front, based on what the Word of God says, I believe to venerate Mary is to worship Mary, and to worship Mary is to commit the sin of idolatry, and that is to displease and to disobey the direct command of the living God. So does the truth about Mary matter Oh, yes, it does. And you might ask, how did you jump from Mary being a perpetual virgin to idolatry, Mark? I'll tell you how. The veneration of Mary starts with her being always and forever a virgin. And from where does the Catholic Church draw the conviction that Mary was a virgin for life? Well, mainly from church tradition, but there are certain verses in the Bible, right here in Luke 1, like Luke 1 verse 27, which lead them to believe this is true about her. But is that really what these verses are teaching? What you believe about Mary matters a lot, and in the days ahead, we're going to look at her supposed perpetual virginity, as well as her supposed immaculate conception and sinlessness. That's right, sinlessness. And contrast these with what the Bible actually says. And listen, all within Luke 1 and the verses that I've asked you to read. We have quite a bit to get to, but I want to do this in a way and according to a set pace that will help all of us learn together who Mary was, such that we learn who God is. The purpose of this ministry is to know who God is. And so let's continue on in our quest to find out who He is by looking at the human life of God's servant, Mary. John Calvin, the Protestant reformer, said this, "We were created and born on the express condition that we should devote ourselves to the knowledge of God." I agree. Let me give that to you again. We were created and born on the express condition that we should devote ourselves to the knowledge of God. And so let us, with one another, devote ourselves to knowing God daily. I hope that I can be a part of serving you well in this regard as you join me each and every weekday at this exact same time, for God is. I look forward to returning again tomorrow to Luke 1 as our discussion on Mary in the genealogy of Jesus continues. So join me then, for God is.